Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. It's good to be together and share the good things of the Lord. And on the last several broadcasts, I've been ministering on a message, Keys of the Kingdom. And I enjoyed researching and going into the Word of God to discover that there are various keys that are mentioned in Scripture. Of course, I began by sharing that passage in Revelation, the third chapter, verse 7, where it talks about Jesus, who was the faithful and the true witness, that He has the key of David, and that what He opens, no one can shut, and what He shuts, no one can open. And just as we closed yesterday's broadcast, I was looking at some other keys that are mentioned in the New Testament. One was a key to the sky, and there was a reference in the fourth chapter of Luke, which speaks, those were the words of Jesus, where the key to the sky, or the heavens, if you will, was closed. There was no rain that was allowed to come down. And then also we see in Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 6, that the two witnesses had the power to shut the sky so that no rain may fall. Now, there's also another key that is mentioned according to Jewish belief, and that's the key of death and of Hades. And it was the Jewish belief that God held four keys in His hand, that of the key of the rain, conception, and resuscitation of the dead, as well as crops. In Revelation, the first chapter, verse 18, the word of the Lord says, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. The underworld has many keys because it has many doors, or gates, if you will. Rabbi Akiba tells of the time when God will give Michael and Gabriel the keys to open the 40,000 gates of Gehenna, or hell. And, of course, that's just according to Jewish tradition, if you will. But we know that Jesus, He definitely won these keys in victorious battle from Satan, who is the ruler of the underworld. And God, praise the Lord, will open the doors of death's domain for those imprisoned inside. Having the keys of death and hell, Jesus has sole authority over the bodies and souls of men. Then another key is the key of the pit of the abyss, or the bottomless pit, the King James renders that. In Revelation 9 and 1, we see that there's a scripture reference about the pit, and that pit represents a shaft or a deep entrance into a region from which issues smoke, which is not only literal, but it's symbolic of blinding delusion. So that's found in Revelation 9 and 1, and the word says, And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Also, there is another key that is mentioned as the key of the abyss, and this is found in Revelation, the 20th chapter, and that's distinguished from the key of the pit of the abyss. And that reference in Revelation 20 and 1 says, And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And of course, this was at the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon, and it says in verse 2, He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So there is that key of the abyss, and that indicates the power to shut it. This indicates the complete supremacy of the Lord over the region of the lost, where Satan is confined for 1,000 years of Christ's millennial reign on the earth. So these are the various keys that the Lord, or as he assigns to angelic beings, the right to use or utilize those keys. And there are a couple other keys that I'd like also to share with you, and these keys relate to mankind's ability to use the keys. And that first one, this is actually the fifth key, is the key of knowledge. And we understand that the scribes of Israel were thought of as stewards, if you will, of the treasures of divine wisdom. And so when they were admitted to their office, they received as a symbol of that office the key of knowledge, which basically was to admit them to the treasure chambers of the house of the interpreter, the Beth Midrash of the rabbis. And so what can we say about the key of knowledge? It refers to the spiritual things of the Word of God. And this is the knowledge of the revealed will of God by which men enter into a life that pleases God. And perhaps you're thinking of that scripture that Jesus declared, that's referenced in Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 52. And he was speaking very harshly to the lawyers. He said, "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." So the Lord uses the figure of the temple, into which the leaders who had the ability to teach, they should have led God's people, but whose gate they had closed, and they held the key in their hands with jealous care. They were basically preventing access of those who were seeking God into his royal presence. And then there is the keys of the kingdom, praise God, and that's something that God has given to every single believer. And perhaps if you remember the episode in Matthew, there's a reference, and at this point in time, in the 16th chapter, the Lord is asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they made their various offers of what men were saying. And then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Peter spoke up immediately, and he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Now listen to what follows. Jesus goes on to say, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, people have in some denominations taken that as a token of papal infallibility, but the Lord was referencing himself as the great rock. Peter is a little rock. And so he was saying the gates of hell, the church was going to be built through the gospel message that would be preached by Peter and the other apostles and all of his disciples down through the ages, that the church would be built upon the rock Christ Jesus, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And then in verse 19, he says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So what do we see? We see the Lord had been training his disciples for 3 years, didn't he? For this very work, basically as a scribe instructed in the kingdom of heaven. And giving them these keys, it made them teachers, it made them interpreters, it gave them the ability to bind and loose. And this was a formal confirmation in words of that symbolic act. And God, as we know, as is mentioned in Ephesians, that he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the work of the ministry, the fivefold ministry, basically, which is there's a finger, you know, five fingers on every hand. This is God's hand, if you will, of legislative and judicial functions. Basically, the administrative responsibilities in God's kingdom are entrusted to leadership, which is expressed in its different aspects in the fivefold ministry. And they are meant to work together, not to be in competition, of course, with one another. So what do we see? In Matthew 16:19, we see the constitution of the government of the church, if you will, and it's expressed here by the delivering of the keys, and with them is the power to bind and loose, to simply shut or to open. And this invests apostolic authority with a ministerial power to guide and to govern the church according to the principles and the rules of the Word of God. Christ promises to acknowledge the proper administration of by saying it will be bound or loosed in heaven. So basically, what the Lord is saying, as we speak the word of the Lord, then all heaven is going to back it up. The word of God in the mouth of faithful ministers is not to be looked upon as the word of man, but the very word of God to be received accordingly. And so with this, with these keys of the kingdom, there's a key of doctrine, if you will, or key of knowledge. Some things had been, we understand, under the old covenant, forbidden by the law of Moses, but now they were allowed. Some things were allowed and now forbidden. And so the first apostles were to carry this to the world. As an example, there was, remember that vision that Peter had? The Lord said, call nothing common or unclean. And so ministers preach in God's name what is good and what the Lord requires of them. When the ministers preach pardon and peace to those that are repenting and turning from sin, and when they speak wrath and judgment to the unrepentant, they move in this authority of binding and loosing. Well, there's a key of discipline that's tied to this, but we're going to pick that up tomorrow. And I invite you to tune in at the same time. Thank you so much for joining me. This has been a time of teaching, but I thought it was somewhat fascinating to hear what the scriptures outline in terms of keys that are given in terms of spiritual realities. So thank you again for listening, and I'll look forward to being with you tomorrow at the same time. God bless you. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.